Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Wow, that sounds absolutely awful, so we're going to cut that off right there. Good evening.
We'll sing the rest.
Welcome to Charlton Live. There's clearly something wrong with the computer here. Hopefully we'll be able to play you some interviews later on. Right, my name is Louis Mendez. We're coming to you live from the Valley here on Maritime Radio. We're going to be looking back at yesterday's 2-1 last gasp win over Shrewsbury Town. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley are Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Very good.
Yeah,
much more positive.
In a good mood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you remember how Red Red Robin sounds?
Better than that.
Yeah, good, excellent. And joining the pair of us here is Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, living the dream.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Happy with the result yesterday?
Yeah, just a shame that we got cut off halfway through.
Yeah,
really? And then obviously now this.
Yeah, it would appear that you two are cursed, and I may have
blew up a computer last year.
May have to consider if I want to spend too much more time with you.
So on tonight, lift.
Yeah. No, I've got the car. On tonight's show, like I said, we will be looking back at yesterday's 2-1 win. We're going to hear, hopefully, our exclusive interview with Lee Bowyer, if the computer system still works. We'll hear that because it's a good interview, and we also want to hear from you guys, of course. What did you make of yesterday's performance? What did you make of the performances of some of the young guns who joined us or made their debuts yesterday? For example, Albie Morgan made his full debut, George Lapsley made his full home league debut, his first home league start at the Valley. So let us know what you made of those two. Darren Prattley, I thought, was impressive as well. If you wanted to talk about him, anything you want to talk about from yesterday's show, let us know. As you heard earlier, also the goal clip. We won't be able to play that either because the ISDN that you guys were commentating on yesterday blew up at some point, so that stopped working. So we haven't got any audio to play from the game, so I guess we'll just dive straight into it. But don't forget, if you want to have your say, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. So, Tom, we'll dive straight into it. Overall, I mean, important to get off the mark after what happened last week.
Yeah, 100%, because...
if you lose two in a row, I mean, it's still very early days, but you're a little bit, you do get a little bit nervous, particularly given all the issues we've spoken about. At first half, I mean, it's lucky we haven't got the highlights of that first half because there wasn't any. Nearly sent me a naif to sleep, to be honest. But second half, we looked better, changed the shape, got in front, deservedly so. And then when they scored, I thought, oh, Sunderland all over again. And we held it together. I thought Albie Morgan, when he came on, was brilliant, and managed to nick a late winner. And I think on the balance of play, it was probably deserved.
Yeah, Naif, do you think that we deserve to come out on top? Because I felt Shrewsbury had a fair few chances in both halves, really. Yeah. At the start of the second half in particular.
Yeah, they were the better side second part of the first half, but that's not paying them too much for a compliment because, like Tom said, it was absolutely awful. But yeah, they had a few chances and they put us on the ropes a little bit. Did we deserve to win? I don't think overall, I mean, but then last week I don't think we deserved to lose, so it swings around about, doesn't it? But I think we were probably a lot more positive second half. But it's always nice to, when the tables are turned, to get a last minute winner.
So let's talk about the team who's straight off the bat. I mean, it was only the one change, and I guess there really isn't that much room for manoeuvre at the moment. Jason Pearce out for 2 or 3 weeks after that late challenge on him up at Sunderland. So Naby Sarr stepped into the centre position. But just in terms of formation as well, I guess we noticed he tried something a little bit different yesterday.
Yeah, obviously went back to a 4-4-2. I mean, Sarr, as you say, coming in for Pearce was probably expected, and I actually think Sarr played okay in large patches yesterday, but it was the formation change really that made a difference, and you'll hear from the interview why he did it, but I don't think it worked. I think we lacked enough creativity in the middle, with Prattley alongside Aribo, and Lapsley was a bit more, he didn't get as much of the ball being out wide, so I thought going forward it didn't really work. But I also think we were guilty of just, I don't know why, I don't know if it was the formation or not, but we were just guilty of lumping it long in that first half and bypassing the midfield. But I thought the rest of the team, I mean, there wasn't a whole amount of changes that Lee could have made anyway, given the size of the squad. So I think, on balance, the rest of the team deserved to start anyway. And I thought, yeah, it was that formation change really was what let us down in that first 45 minutes.
Because we actually started off, I'd say, in the first sort of 10 minutes or so, we looked quite bright, didn't we?
Mm. Yeah, I thought so. I mean, because we were sort of running at them, and I mean, all they had really in the first half was lumping it up to Amadi Holloway, who kept losing to Bauer every single time. We'd pick up the pieces, and then, yeah, I don't know, and then sort of halfway through the first half, we lost our way a bit. We were saying that we wasn't making the second balls, we weren't making the loose balls, and we let them into the game. But especially Carlin, when he got on the ball and sort of turned and run at them, we were causing him problems. I mean, there was a time where Lewis Page went on a gallivanting run and stuff, but yeah, we started the brighter out of the two. It was just, I don't know, we just didn't click, like Tom said.
Sort of early on, we had that counter attack where Dylan Phillips got the ball out of his feet nice and quickly, and I think it was Marshall in the end who slipped it through to Lyle Taylor. And you know, just at the very start, that looked quite promising. That, like, we might be actually starting to move the ball around quite nicely.
Yeah, we did create a couple of chances, but we kind of moved away from that as the half went on. I mean, Grant had one again later on as well, but too much of the time, as I say, we were bypassing that, and we saw last week that how much their pace was. It Louvrens and Ozturk, were they at the back for Sunderland? And they couldn't cope with Taylor and Grant at all, and I think we saw in little patches yesterday that the same was true of the Shrewsbury back too. Beckles, for all of his strength at the back, he's not the quickest player in the world, and Waterfall looked a bit uncomfortable having to deal with them as well. So when we played the way we tend to, which is getting the ball into them quickly and trying to utilise that pace, we looked dangerous. And as you say, it happened there on the counter attack. But throughout that first half, particularly the latter stages of it, we just didn't do that enough. And I think if we had done more, perhaps the result would have been slightly more comfortable.
We had a massive, massive let off early on after 7 minutes. I don't think that much was actually made. But I mean, Alex Gilead absolutely had to score when I think it was Wally's shot sort of rebounded up into the air and 6 yards out, Gilead's there, and just saw it on the highlights again. Maybe it was just slightly too much underneath it, but really, I mean, that was a free header within the 6 yard box, and he had to score that, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw it, I thought he jumped too early because it looked like it was like hit salmon out of water. He just sort of headed it sort of up, but yeah, it was a massive let off because as soon as it falls to someone there, you're thinking, oh, here we go, it's a goal. And what we didn't want is an early goal against us straight away, because we were saying, you looked at the bench again yesterday, if we was in a situation where we wanted to change a game, we couldn't have done it. So,
we didn't think we would have been able to do it. But I guess as the game wore on, we probably did, which was, was a nice surprise. But I mean, as that first half progressed, it became obvious that we after our sort of fast start, it became we just started to look a little bit like we were running out of ideas and running out of possession on what to do with the possession that we did have. And then again, I think Shrewsbury certainly had the better of the chances going into the break, and they might have felt slightly aggrieved that they weren't a goal up. I mean, Omar Beckles scored a header from a corner here last season when they won 2-0 in the league, and almost did exactly the same. He flashed that wide, and then they had that Rangers Loney Doherty drag wide from the edge of the box as well. They had a few chances, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And when I say that I think we deserved to win the game, I don't think we were all over them or anything like that. They did have their fair share. I would say that Gilead header was probably the best one they had. But on the whole, we restricted them to fairly long distance shots. I thought we defended okay. Gilead and Wally were dangerous all game, but we expected them to be. And when Holloway was able to win the ball, the good thing was, particularly at the early stages and more in the second half, was we were getting to those second balls. It was that period from sort of 20 minutes up to half time where Holloway started to win a couple of the aerial battles with Bauer, and at that point their players were then getting to that second ball, and that's probably where they looked most dangerous. But as I say, we restricted them largely to shots from distance. I don't remember Phillips having a huge amount to do in that first half, and as a result we obviously went in 0-0. But again, if you look at the chances we had up the other end, we weren't creating much either, which is why I come back to the fact that it was just a pretty poor half in general.
It wasn't exactly the most exciting half of football we'd ever seen at the Valley. And then, I mean, as Nathan rightly says, I mean, we look towards the bench, I think, or who's going to come on in to try and change it up, and you're not really looking at any match winners there. But Boya, I mean, he took an extremely brave decision. Albie Morgan's only 18 years old. To throw him on with half the game to go at home, first home game of the season, say, right, it's up to you now to go and change this second half for me, and to change the formation as well, the tactics. I mean, that was a really brave, bold decision, really.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, like, obviously you'll probably hear later when Bosun's in his post-match, with their towards that second part of the first half, that Doherty was sort of getting on the ball a lot more. He was getting a lot of space. So then if he wanted to counteract, he either had to put, say, Marshall there, which I don't think is ever going to work, or you'd put Lapsley there, but then you'd lose his energy where he was. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, it shows how much trust Bose is putting in the likes of George and Albie, and obviously he certainly took his chance yesterday, because he was very very impressive, because he didn't hide from the ball, which is easy to do when you're a bit nervous, but he always was making an option for the ball, and he's very impressive.
It was Marshall who got taken off at half time, Tom. I mean, did you have a view on him going off? I mean, do you think? Now, we saw him throughout last season. He came with so much promise after what he achieved at Bradford a couple of years ago. But I guess he's never really sort of hit the ground running.
No, not for me. I was disappointed with him at the start of last season. I thought he improved, but I wouldn't say there were many games where I'd say he had an outstanding performance last season. Maybe once or twice, but I can't think off the top of my head. I'm not hugely impressed with him so far this season, although it's very, very early days. I mean, you'll hear from the interview we asked Boya whether it was an injury or tactical. But I just think, I don't know, when he gets the ball, he seems to have so much promise, and we know what he's capable of. He just doesn't seem to do it. And like you said, that chance that fell to Taylor, sometimes he can pick up the ball, he can sprint forwards, he looks dangerous, but he just doesn't do that enough. And particularly in that, I think in the first half even, the times when we did look dangerous was when Grant was dropping deep and turning and running at their back four. And when he started to do that, they didn't know how to handle it. And that's what you want from someone like Marshall as well. That's what he's known for doing, getting down to that byline, running at players, getting crosses in. And he just doesn't seem to do it enough. And as you say, it was a massively brave step from Lee Bowyer to make the change. But I do think it paid off.
And then he obviously switched up the formation as well, which... something he had tried the similar sort of last week, hadn't he? And so tried it again, and it seemed to sort of bear its fruits. I mean, but having said that, at the start of the first 5 minutes or so of the second half, I think we had three massive let-offs, really, didn't we?
Yeah, and we had a load of let-offs in the at the beginning, but again, we've still got a young team, especially looking at George, because I think George went out to the right, didn't he, in the second half, and Albie was in the middle, and then obviously Nabby come in. So I still think we were probably just get a bit used to it, really, just getting settled down, just to make sure they're sort of taking the instructions on board. But we stuck at it, like we always do. We always quite good defensively, stuck at it, and we come through it, which it was a dodgy patch because I thought they were going to score straight after the second half.
Yeah, because we saw that it was a header from Aaron Amadi Holloway at the far post, and he sort of nodded it down towards the near post where Phillips did really well to get down. And then they had that corner where it ended up falling to Beckles, didn't he? And his volley went just wide. That was only a few seconds before we scored that. But even before that, I mean, Solly had to clear one off the line. One of their lads had sort of got to the ball first, and Phillips had come rushing off the line and poked it beyond him. But there was Chris Solly. I guess Solly is another man who's, you know, he's started to become one of the more experienced heads, of course, now that we remember. He's still playing with a bandage on his head after what he suffered up at Sunderland. But he was someone you can always rely on in his now testimonial season.
Yeah, I didn't see much of this live because I was too busy trying to fix all of the equipment. But I've seen the highlights back, and I didn't realise that clearance off the line had happened at all. But you're right, we said it in commentary that apart from Solly and Prattley, that the age of that squad, you know, it's exciting that it's so youthful, and there's a lot of time for those players to grow here and hopefully develop. But sometimes you're looking around for experienced heads, and obviously I think Prattley gave us that yesterday. I'd arguably say he was man of the match, but also Solly at the back as well. And I mean, we've called him Mr. Reliable for plenty of time, and again yesterday he was in the right place at the right time when we needed him. As you say, sporting that bandage, he's not one who wants to come off, is he? And despite the fact that whatever injury he had or wound he's got is still causing him issues, he was still out there giving his all. And especially at that moment, it's lucky we had him there.
Yeah, I mean, Lyle Taylor is actually much older than I realised when I was looking at
his age. 28,
isn't he? Yeah, he's 28 as well, actually. But he was the man who got us the opening goal just beyond the hour mark. And what a superb bit of work it was down that right-hand side from George Lapsley now to dig out the cross that he did. Nice bit of interplay. I think was it a Rebo sort of bit in the build-up as well that played it to him. But they gave him a little bit of space to make that cross, Lapsley. But he floated it up into the perfect position just at the far stick. And Taylor still had a lot to do, but he guided his header in and 2-2 for the big man.
Yeah, no, it was a great bit of play. Obviously, George come in inside to Rebo, and I thought Rebo was going to pop one, and then he dragged it back, and then he played Georgie outside. But he had a decent little whip on him, and it was a good. Because I didn't when he headed it in, because I don't think you were sorting out the thing.
Yeah, I didn't see the goal either.
I thought it went in the side netting when I first saw it, and it was sort of like a delayed reaction, but it was a great little header. But again, one clear-cut opportunity, and he takes it, and that's something that we didn't have last year. So it's nice to see, like you say, 2-2.
Yeah.
What did Bent get? 5-4, didn't he?
Something
I think
like
so.
Yeah, but I mean, that 2-2 now keeps him equal with Josh McGuinness up at Bolton. So obviously, there's a personal battle going on there. But I mean, we joke, but obviously, you know. For all Josh's, for everything he brought to the team, some will say he didn't get enough goals. He got 10 in both his seasons, which is not a bad return. But some would say if you're going to be pushing for promotion, which I don't think we are, but if we are going to be pushing for promotion, you need someone who's going to score a lot of goals, and he's done it over the last 3 years for Wimbledon, and he started off on the right foot.
Yeah, and Bowyer knew what he was getting when he brought him in. I think he looked dangerous, not just against us, but in any of the games I've seen Wimbledon play over the last few years. He's just got that striker's instinct. I think it's what we thought a Jose might have when we brought him in as well, that kind of poacher being in the right place at the right time, and hasn't worked out for him, unfortunately. But Taylor does look to be that player. And also, the work he's doing alongside Grant, again, one of the things that McGuinness struggled with was being that lone striker in that Robinson 4-2-3-1, which is obviously working so well at Oxford at the moment. But Taylor and Grant together, not only their pace, but their link-up play, one dropping deep and one going on, they're just working really well together, and they're setting up chances for each other. Obviously, Grant won the penalty last week at Sunderland as well, and I just think they're a combination that no defence is going to want to come up against, because two sets of defenders have come up, two slightly different sets of defenders, and they haven't known how to handle them. And obviously, there are going to be games where Taylor doesn't score.
I refuse to believe that.
But again, we're going to have the likes of Igor, who can hopefully come in and change things up as well. So I think up front we're quite exciting. It's just middle of midfield and as Bowyer again said, the centre of defence, where there are still issues. But yeah, another good goal for him, and as you say, so far so good.
Yeah, because people say that sometimes you get people saying you sort of peak when you're in your late 20s for certain players. And so do you think now we're going to see him at his peak? Because I think if you look earlier on in his career, he never really hit the ground running in England. But now over the last couple of years of Wimbledon, he just seems to be really finding his stride, Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously Yeah, that's the, well, not the myth, that's what obviously all the pros say, is you're what, 28 to 31, aren't you? But if it means we've got someone, you know, in the prime of their career, so to speak, on a free, and he started the business already, then yeah, I think it's a great signing. But I think not only with Lyle, I think the people, the players he's playing with actually complement him really well. Mm. And that's why I think he's doing so well. Because you've got to remember, he scored 1-3 for Wimbledon, playing, no disrespect against lesser players.
No, disrespect
players.
Wimbledon.
They're not as good as us, are they? So, well. So I mean, so that's what I mean. So I think he's going to be a very, very good signing, and it's a great start for the lad.
Mm. Now, and for me, that goal probably came a little bit against the run of play. Oh. But the best thing about it is it just completely stopped Shrewsbury in their tracks. Because like I say, they'd had this really lively start to the second half, and that really seemed to knock the stuffing out of them for the next 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we needed to do, because as we said, going in at half time, I think we were slightly on the back foot. We'd been disappointing towards the end of that half. We came out second half, they started well and they created a couple of chances, and you just think we needed to silence them, and that's exactly what we did. And as we say again, it comes back to having a poacher in front of goal that can just put that chance away. And I think after that, again, Shrewsbury did grow back into the game again then, obviously getting the goal as well. But I thought that was where perhaps we really needed to try and kick on once we got that goal, and we didn't quite do that, which was disappointing.
Yeah, sort of peppered throughout the game, we saw a little bits and pieces of what Carlin Grant's all about in terms of running. Now, whether you used to watch videos of the goals he used to score for the 23s and the 18s, he used to always seem to run for an absolute mile with the ball before doing that. We saw it early on in the first half where he sort of, I don't know if it was a shot or a cross, because there was someone at the far post trying to touch it home as well, where he flashed it across the face of goal. But then we saw it again sort of midway through the second half, where he ran towards the edge of the box and his curler just had a little touch wide. You're just thinking, just seeing flashes of it, and you could see he was working really hard. And I'm so glad he got his reward sort of later on. It was interesting to note as well, I've always wondered if the fact that the Shrewsbury manager Donaghy wasn't actually in the dugout. Now, the reason he wasn't, I thought I'd just bring this up because it made me laugh when I read it yesterday. He's serving the remainder of a touchline ban. I think yesterday was the final game of it, for something he did whilst he was a Macclesfield Town manager last season. They won the National League Macclesfield on no budget at all, which is why he got the Shrewsbury job. He got a big job after doing so well. But the reason he hasn't actually been in the dugout for any games yet is because during a 3-2 win over Woking, at one point on the sidelines, I think they were 2-1 up at the time, he got furious. He was furious with the fourth official or the referee for something, decided to target the fourth official by kicking a puddle at him like a child, which I thought was excellent stuff. I mean, there's nothing I like more than someone who's just petulant, and more of that on the football pitch, please. So a shame he wasn't in the dugout yesterday to do some more of that. But it was his team that then, even with John Lewis's goal, I don't think it really, I didn't really feel like we're under pressure. But it's just that point. I mean, when you watch it back, it doesn't look like a good goal to concede, does it? They get an easy run down the wing there in the cross, and the cross is sort of landed in between two people. It's a good header from John Lewis, but I don't think Bowie would be too happy when he's seen that one back.
No, I think there was a lot of similarities between that one and Sunderland's second. It was a deep cross, back post. Both of them were good headers, I'll give them their due, but they were too similar. And as much as obviously Naby and BFG had a good game in certain aspects, they're the sort of crosses that I would expect Jason Pearce to be on the end of, and that's my only concern with Pearce out of the squad is those sort of crosses. It's just, I don't know, I just feel really uneasy. But yeah, the Bowyer wasn't happy with it because they're both similar to last week. But again, I was like, Tom, please don't let it happen again, because I thought they had the momentum, and then they kept winning the second balls. So yeah, I thought we was on the back foot again a little bit, but up until then, yeah, they didn't really pepper us that much.
I mean, quite a question mark over the defending, because I thought overall, I mean, I know they had a few chances, but overall we didn't look too shaky at the back.
No, I thought on the whole we defended well. As I said earlier, we restricted them in the first half to fairly long distance chances, and it was just that quick free kick which we fell asleep at. It's one of those balls that it's very difficult to defend it when it comes in like that, like Nath says with the second Sunderland goal, because it's travelling towards that back post anyway. It just needs the lightest touch from anyone, it's behind the back four already, so they're already running backwards towards their own goal. So there's almost nothing you can do when the ball comes in like that. What you've got to try and do is stop the cross coming in the first place. And as I say, because they took that free kick so quickly, we just fell asleep a little bit. But yeah, it was obviously with what happened last week, you immediately think, right, it's happening again. And are they now going to go on and take the initiative? And obviously that didn't happen this time, which was good.
Yeah, because I guess after something like that happens, it is now about how you're going to react to it. Yeah. And I've always said, like, you know, we know the squad is small and we know, you know, that there's not a great deal on the bench that tends to be ready to be brought on at the moment. But you also know, under Bowyer and Jacko, you're certainly going to get a fair bit of character from the lads as well, and hard work. And that's what you need when you find yourself up against the wall, like, you know, when you've just conceded late on.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think even though they scored pretty late on again, I still felt the players still, you know, they didn't deflate. They still was trying to be positive. They still wanted to get on the ball. Like, you know, Albie Morgan still wanted to get on the ball. It could have been easy for the younger lads to sort of hide because they were scared. But they, again, everyone was positive, and we kept going for it. And obviously we got our just deserves at the end, but... Yeah, no, it was nice to see, like you say, with the character of Bowes and Jacko instilling, is just keep going, you know, because previously, I've definitely, maybe even last year or the year before, I think we probably would have lost that game.
But we didn't lose it, we went on to win it, and plenty about the quality of the guy. I mean, just for starters, a little dinky ball over the top from Albie Morgan was impressive, and Prattley did well to dig out across there under a little bit of pressure, and Carlin there, you know, gambled at the near post, and I didn't even realise until I watched the goal back on the telly when I got home last night, but he actually went in via the post at the near stick, because I did wonder how he managed to beat the keeper at his near post, but it was right on the right on the edge in off the post. And I mean, for starters, I mean, Carlin Grant deserved that goal, didn't he?
Yeah, not only for his work yesterday, but I think since he's come into the side, I thought last week he was decent. He obviously had that break in the first half yesterday, and it was only a brilliant tackle from Haynes that stopped him scoring there as well. I think he's looked really good so far and carried on that form that he had at Crawley last year, so fully deserved the goal. But yeah, in terms of the build-up as well, Albie Morgan, as I say, for someone so young and making his first team debut, he looked so assured. It was a lovely ball through to Prattley, and then there was no messing around with Prattley then. He just turned, because obviously he had his back to goal, and sort of twisted away from the defender and just hit it in first time. It was a good cross, and Grant gambled on it, and that's exactly what you've got to do in the box. It's something, again, that maybe 3-4 years ago when he was chucked in as a 16 or 17 year old, he wouldn't have done, but he's got that experience now at this level, made the right run, and as you say, did really well to get that header in at the near post, because there wasn't a lot of space there, but he found the little gap, and yeah, and we're back ahead.
Yeah, still five minutes of added time to be played, but I think we saw that out fairly comfortably. And you know, just in terms of a Philip, after, like I say, after last week where, you know, complete opposite happened and we conceded in the last minute, to go on and get that win in the last minute in front of the home crowd. Obviously it was a sparse crowd, and you know, in a sparse squad, unfortunately. But just you know, little moments like that are sort of why it's important, really, for the morale of the club and certainly for the morale of the squad.
Yeah, no, definitely, because you've got to enjoy moments like this, because there probably will be home games where they're not going to be so enjoyable. Might not be like 0-0 against, I mean, Walsall or something like that. But
unfortunately.
But yeah, you've got to enjoy these matches, because you know, there's certain elements at the moment of the club that we're probably not enjoying. So things like this, we've got to enjoy them and celebrate, especially with people like Albie and George coming through.
I mean, how important, like I say, getting that match-winning moment could be for the likes of Carlin, because you know, we talked about him over the years now. It's 3 or 4 years he's been playing, and you forget he's literally only 20. The fact that he's now, I mean, I sort of thought the goals he got towards the end of last season, the goals he was even getting for Charlton just before we shipped him out to Crawley, I just started to think, well, maybe he's going to start to mature and really sort of, you know, stamp his authority on this side. This could be his big season.
I think that chance is definitely there, and he got interviewed after the game, and he's a confident young man, isn't he? He doesn't talk like it's a breakthrough. He just goes, well, I'm here to score goals and that's what I'm doing, and he expects this from himself, which is good. And he's got all the talent there, like I say, not just his pace but his finishing. We've seen it at all other levels as well. He's got intelligence now. Those little decisions that he's starting to make just come from experience, which again sounds mad considering he's only 20, but he has now had that little bit of experience in the Football League. And yeah, you would think, all being well, he's only going to improve here. And the likes of Bowyer and Jackson, they're building a good mentality within the squad. There seems to be a feel-good factor within them. I know it's only a small group, but under those two players, you're not going to get a lack of effort, and they seem to be a fairly good vibe around them. And whilst they do, players like Grant are hopefully going to thrive under that.
Mm. And also, if you think about it, you know, thinking about Lee Bowyer, still a very inexperienced manager, for him to make a tactical switch at half-time and for that to pay off and to help win a game and certainly help, you know, change the way the game was going, and then not for obviously for us to nick it at the end. I mean, that's got to be a good sign, because I guess people are always going to wonder, you know, when he came in towards the end of last season, he hit the ground running, but he didn't really need to change things that often during games. You know, for him to have to do that this week and for it to come off, I think he'll be very pleased with that.
Oh yeah, definitely, because it's always easy to, you know, to shove, you know, Albie or Taylor Maloney on or something, like if you're 3-0 up at home, it's going to be easy to do that. But to do it at 0-0, it shows a lot of trust and you know, a lot of confidence in the young lads to come in and do the job. And I think, yeah, Albie yesterday, but even to an extent Carlin like this year and George, it must be good for them, and it'll also be good for the other youngsters on the fringes. So even like Taylor Maloney's, even Alfie Doughty and stuff like that, it shows them if they work hard, they could be in the same position. So I think it bodes well for anyone looking up to the first team.
Right, excellent. Don't forget, you can have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. We want to know what you made of yesterday's win, Bowyer's tactical changes at half time, of course bringing on Albie Morgan for his impressive debut. Anything you want to say really about yesterday's game, and of course there's other stuff that's happened this week. Jed Steers coming on loan, if you want to talk about him, because I think we'll have to debate at some point later on in the show, you know, where does that leave the number one spot? I know you asked Bowyer during the interview there, Tom, but we'll discuss that in our minds, who we think will be number one. Like I say, you can talk about Albie Morgan as well. Look ahead to Milton Keynes on the Tuesday if everyone's looking forward to that cup game as well, so we'll chat about that. But first things first, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's last gasps win. Now, anyone who was listening right at the start of the show will notice that Red Robin sounded really weird, so there's currently something wrong with the desk. So if this sounds really weird, I'm going to seamlessly play it over my laptop and hold that up to the microphone for you, because I want to make sure you can hear it. But this is what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's 2-1 win against Shrewsbury.
Joined by Lee Bowyer after Charlton's 2-1 win over Shrewsbury. Lee, on the receiving end of a last-minute goal last week, now the roles are reversed, you must be delighted.
Yep, it's always nice to score late. There's not really much time for them to get back into it and get the equaliser. So, but yeah, I think the lads deserved that, especially with the second half performance and the way we got beat last weekend, because they didn't deserve that either. So, but yeah, no, I thought they done well today, second half especially.
You started with a 4-4-2 first half, as opposed to the three at the back we'd seen last week. What was your thinking behind that?
I just thought would be better to play Naby and Pat in their natural position, you know. They're playing against one striker. Just play them in their natural position. Didn't want to try and complicate it. Pagey play against your winger. Souls play against your winger. And then play the two up top, obviously, and then hopefully we pass through them and try and drag them about a bit, and then get it up to our front too, which was always going to cause problems. But in the first half, first 20 minutes, I thought we'd done that well. But then the second part of the first half, their city midfielder seemed to get a bit more ball when he was winning second balls, because it just became like a long ball game to me the last 20 minutes, and that's what they want. So then it just didn't look good from the side. So then I knew I had to change it and go to the three. And then I put Solly on the left side. People must have been thinking, what's he doing? Like, Solly's on the left side, Naby's on the right side. They're on the wrong sides. Like, but there was a thinking behind it, because you had Wally, who's their best player, playing out wide. So then obviously I don't really want him running against Naby. And their left winger was a lot taller as well. So I don't really want them hitting long diags onto Solly. So that was my thinking behind it, just to clear that up in case people think I'm crazy. There was a philosophy behind the pair of them. So, yeah, and then obviously I brought young Albion to get on the ball because I know he can play. And he's good in possession, he's got a good range of passing. And I didn't think it'd faze him. So I think he'd done well all pre-season. He was just unfortunate in the pre-season game that he got injured. Otherwise, maybe he'd have been starting, you know, you never know. But I think him and George again was excellent. The poor lad come off with cramp, you know, that's how much he's given us.
Right.
And then you got your experienced lads, Prattley, Chris Solly, you know, like they're putting their bodies on the line and winning ball after ball. Prattley was just everywhere today. Then you got your two up top, Lowell and Carl, and just they look dangerous all day. Jarebo again, excellent, you know. Pagey, like I can keep going on and on. I thought Nabby done well. I thought Nabby played well, you know, in possession, second half. He was passing it around. He was stepping in, which we wanted him to do. And so, no, I think everybody, more so second half, we was much better than what I'm used to seeing. I went mad at half time because that just wasn't good enough the first half.
You mentioned, obviously, Albie Morgan coming on. Firstly, a bit more about his performance, and secondly, was it an injury to Mark Marshall, or was it purely the change in the formation that led to that decision?
No, there was no injury to Marsh. I think we had to put someone to get in and around there, sitting midfielder out of possession, and Albie can do that. And in possession, I know what he can bring us in possession, you know. So that was the reason why Marsh come off and Albie went on. And I thought Albie, for a young kid to come on for his first appearance, like proper appearance, I thought he was done very well. And I just told him that in the dressing room.
Taylor then obviously gets us ahead, his second goal in two games, proving a good bit of business so far.
Yep. I knew that's what he was going to do. I knew he was going to bring goals. You don't score 18 goals last season and become a bad player. He had one chance a day and he took it. And that's what he does. So we see that every day in training, and I can't wait till he gets two chances, because then he'll take them both.
And when they get themselves level, is there a worry, given what happened last week, that it's going to happen again?
No, I honestly believe, because it's not like they was dominating us at that time. It was just a free kick. They took it quick, got it wide, crossed it before we could stop the cross, and then the fellas obviously lost one of our lads in the box. I haven't seen it, but it was that quick. And then I always knew, like, listen, just keep passing the ball, keep moving the ball, and every time we went forward, we looked dangerous and we could create something. So we have to keep polishing up on in and around the final third, because we're just a bit sloppy at times, you know, but we'll improve in that area and we'll get it right. So
Carlin obviously grabbing the winner late on, as I say, obviously, given what happened last week, good thing to happen, but also given his performances the last two games, something I think he's deserved as well.
Yep. Carlin's been excellent since he's come back. Best thing that happened to him was going to Crawley last season.
And he's carried on that sort of form, hasn't he?
Yeah. His confidence is there, and me, Jacko, keep telling him, look, you're a good player, you know. Don't doubt yourself. You've got all the ability, just keep showing everyone and believe in yourself. Because that's all half of these lads need. They just need to believe in themselves because they're good players. And that's what I said to them half time and after the game. Like, the sooner you start realising that you're flipping good, that, like they did last season, as soon as they realised and that was it, they went boom, boom, win. And they're going to do the same again.
You obviously brought in Jed Steer yesterday. Do you think, obviously, Phillips starting today, is it Phillips' shirt to lose? Is it that they're going to have to fight it out, or is Phillips your number one goalkeeper at the moment?
No, it's Dylan's number one, and I've told Dylan that in the summer, and then I said, look, I'm bringing in a goalkeeper to compete with you. I've got three or four strikers in the building to compete for two positions, so now I've got two goalies to compete for one position. That's life. If you don't have competition, then you can take your foot off the pedal, and we can't afford to do that, not in any position. So yeah, at the end of the day, Dylan's in goal. Said to him, you keep doing well, you stay in the goal. If you don't, then you come out. It's that simple.
And can we expect any more? Can you give us any details on anybody else?
Yeah. Obviously, we're looking.
We need a centre-half. That's 100%. We need a centre-half as cover. We've got Pat, Naby and Pierce. They're the only three centre-halves. We need another right-footed centre-half. And we need, obviously, another central midfielder because we're light there. And I'd like maybe another, like a 7-11-9 type of player. So,
Are you close to anything?
Yeah. We nearly had a 9 on Thursday, and we thought we had him. We thought he was on his way, and then the championship side come and nicked him. So, we was close, but just not that close. So, but yeah, listen, we just keep working hard and trying to bring in the best players we can, and that's, I think, the three that we've brought in so far. I think you can say that they've been good signings.
Definitely.
I think.
Just a couple more for me. The match was obviously dedicated to the memory of Jack Jeffries, who sadly lost his fight with neuroblastoma last month. Yeah. Hugely emotional day for the family, but a day that saw the Charlton family come together for them.
Yeah. Like I said to the dad, I just don't know what to say, you know. Like, I can't imagine how they feel. You can't. Like, and me being a parent as well, it's your worst nightmare. But all I said is, it was just good to see, you know, and everyone coming together in that special time before the game. But all I can say is, send condolences and stuff, you know. But yeah, it's just a tough thing to, what do you say, you know? Like, it's just heartbreaking.
And just looking forward to Tuesday in Milton Keynes. I assume there'll be changes to that game.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of changes.
Yeah,
a lot.
Under 23s, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe one or two a bit older ones, but mainly 23s.
You're listening to Charlton Live.
So welcome back to Charlton Live. There, apologies if you had any issues with the quality of the audio for the Lee Boya interview on the live show. There's certainly something wrong with the desk here. It's playing stuff out a bit weird. If you've listened to the podcast, you won't notice any difference. I'm going to cut it out and put in the proper version. But a great interview there with Lee Boya, Tom. So thanks for that. But he gave us a lot of stuff, which was quite good, actually. But I think the first thing to mention is quite right that you asked Lee about it, because it started at the beginning of the game yesterday. Of course, the teams were led out by the family of Jack Jeffries. It was so sad to see that Jack had passed away last month. It was his dad Grant, and I believe his grandfather was called David, who led the two teams out. You know, his plight was something that we spoke about on the show a few times. I remember we all sent Christmas cards to him, and then people were raising money around the ground for him. And sadly, he came to pass away last month. It's something that obviously hit his family very hard, but as the Charlton family as well, we're also devastated for him.
Yeah, and it's it was tough trying to commentate on it. Obviously, a million times tougher for them having to go through what they've had to go through. And it was a nice touch to get them to lead the team out. I've seen quite a few tributes laid by the Sam Bartram statue as well, and obviously the minutes applause. And nothing can repair what they're having to deal with at the moment. But as I said to Boya, it kind of, the Charlton family pulled together for them. Obviously, the win perhaps puts a little smile on their face. As I say, it can't go anywhere near repairing everything that they've had to go through over the last year or so since Jack was diagnosed. But I thought the club handled it well. I thought it was a fitting tribute to him, and obviously, as I say, to get the win, and another nice tribute as well.
Yeah, some nice words from Brian Cole before the before the minutes applause as well, which was I'm sure not very easy to do, like we say, for Brian, but for the family out there. Like I say, I hope that just helps ever so slightly, just to know that the Charlton family is behind them. That was your first time interviewing Boya, wasn't it? I think. How did you find him? He's quite when he's happy to get going. He gives you a lot. I mean, he mentioned about the fact we were close to a number 9 on Thursday, which I don't think we heard about before, and he ended up going to a championship club. Now Nathan's our transfer guru. He's been going down all the transfers he could find.
I could be wrong though. I could be wrong.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, but you reckon? so you reckon you worked out who it might have been?
So I looked at, I'm sure it was, I'm going to double check before, and I'll let you know by the end of the show, but I thought it was Joe Garner, because that was the only striker that left on Thursday to a championship club.
Mm. unless someone ended up going on Friday on loan, I guess. But
yeah. I'll have another look now, but that's the only one. But again, would we be after Joe Garner? It's a striker, but that's more of a number, like a proper old school centre forward, isn't it? Not a winger come forward.
But then he did say it was number nine.
Yeah, it's
so.
Number nine, so that'd be the right. So, Cheltenham Live exclusive, we nearly signed Joe Garner, according to Nathan.
But didn't. But I think the positive thing to come out of that is it provided Bojas, you know, being honest with us, they were still trying to make moves for other players. And obviously, he goes on to say they're going to keep working on it. I think it's clear, and he's made it clear in plenty of interviews, we need more players. We've said that, even all the players are saying that. So hopefully it's a sign that they are still working on more to come.
He was talking about getting belief into the team as well. He said, I've told them that you guys are flipping good.
Which I'm sure is exactly what he said.
And they need to believe it themselves. And, you know, I mean, we talked about whether purely his enthusiasm and, you know, bigging the team up is going to be enough to get us through, you know, every player we've spoken to about the size of the squad and has certainly said we need more players as well. But, you know, it's better than, do you remember David Moyes at the start of the season with Sunderland when he came out and said, oh, we are probably going to get relegated. So, I mean, it's the right sort of talk you want from the manager, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's got to, even though he's working with a small squad, he's got to still make them motivated. Because I think as soon as you start giving players excuses of, oh yeah, like David Moyes special, then the mentality is that you are going to get relegated. And I think obviously Bowes is going to set the bar higher to keep the standard, so he doesn't let the standards drop. And I think that's what the type of guy Bowes is. He's a winner, and then that's how he wants every single one of his players to sort of go out on the pitch and do, which we've seen so far for the first two games. So yeah, I'd rather him come out and say, yeah, I'd go for top two, or than him go, yeah, we'll probably, yeah, we're aiming for about 13th. Do you know what I mean? Because if he said that, it'd be even worse. So, yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. Keeps everyone on their toes. Yeah.
Well, let's have a look at some of the tweets that started coming in about yesterday's game. Don't forget, if you want to have your say, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. We want your views on the general performance yesterday. We also want to know what you made, for example, of the debut of Albie Morgan. What do you think about Jed Steer coming in as well? Let us know, because of course Dylan Phillips has the number one jersey at the moment. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, has Jed Steer come here to sit on the bench? You'd assume not. He played a lot of games in the Championship over the last few years as well. So, interesting to know who you would like to see as the number one, or if you think that Phillips will get his chance as number one. So, yeah, like I say, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Right, F. James, good evening, chaps. Yesterday's performance was nervy and disjointed, but somehow we got the 3 points. A great result considering a depleted squad. If what I'm hearing is fact, the saga will soon be over. It's too late for perm signings, but the good loans are paramount. Also, as is the case every other week, someone started a rumour that the takeover is going through this week. But, I mean, as I say, I'm not going to get too carried away with that. But, you know, if it does in terms of a... if it does go through soon, then hopefully that'll improve what we can get in terms of loan signings. But yeah, I mean, F says that he felt the performance was a bit nervy and disjointed. I mean, at times, in particular in that first half, you know, we certainly looked disjointed. And I think at the start of the second half, it was probably nervy when they had their three big opportunities. But, you know, that first goal for me, midway through the second period, really sort of calmed some of those nerves for a bit.
Yeah, I think... yeah, nervy and disjointed are both pretty relevant words for that first half. As we've all said, that it just, we were resorting to long balls, and I don't understand why we were doing that. And not only that, but there are a few times where Dills was aiming specifically for Mark Marshall with long balls, and he was up against someone like Beckles. It's just a complete mismatch, so it was a bit strange. But we know what that midfield can do. You know, Aribo is one of our best players on the ball. Even Lapsley, I know he's only had two or three games at this level, but when he's got on the ball, he looks good as well. And we've got players that can do that. So it was disjointed in that first half. I think in the second half, once we got the ball, once we got a goal, we looked better, we looked calmer. But then, yeah, when they scored, we did get a bit nervy again. But I think that's normal. You know, we hadn't got a win from last week when perhaps we felt we deserved it. We have still got a small squad. There are a lot of young players in there. I think it's normal to be nervous, but hopefully that win will give them some confidence going forward ahead of next week.
Ev continues, says, with the fan base returning and optimism both on the terraces and within the club, there is One Direction brackets, no, not that awful band. The only way is up. Let's just hope that our new owners share our desire. Well, let's hope the new owners turn up at some point, I think, is the first thing. Interesting point actually talked about fans returning. I mean, the actual crowd yesterday was announced as 9,000 and something, but I mean, I'd confirmed that before the game that season tickets are literally just under 6,000, like 5,970 something. So we're just under 6,000, but obviously it was a very, very low crowd again yesterday, not helped by the fact that Shrewsbury probably only brought about 500 as well. But, you know, in terms of when you look around the ground, you're just looking like we're desperate for a little something just to pick us up. And it's still great that we can enjoy last-minute winners and that, but, you know, we're still waiting just for that moment when everyone is ready to come back, aren't we?
Yeah, you just need that little bit of fresh impetus, which would be the... obviously the takeover, if it does ever happen. Because, yeah, there's obviously a lot of people that are choosing not to come, which they're more than in their rights to do. We'll have no problem with that.
If you did have a problem, what would you do? Would you round them up with a net and bring them?
No, not a problem, but obviously I'd just rather them in the ground than not in the ground, I mean. But,
yeah.
Because we all love watching Charlton, and it's sad to see that they're not coming because of someone who owns a club at the moment. And it is a big shame, because I remember coming here in the Premiership years with a season ticket and it was bouncing. I remember what it was like, just like Sunderland last week. That's what it used to be like at Charlton. It used to be full, it used to be loud, it used to be a horrible place to come.
But that's the thing, I mean, people see no other way of... I mean, everyone does their bit in some way to try and get rid of Roland du Châtelet. And that's, you know, for some people that is, they will not spend another penny. And you can understand it. I mean, some people will feel like, oh, there's not really much we can do. I mean, there is the you know, the card protests that we saw this week with the water bottles. Of course, the Roland Out Today party are doing something quite inventive as well, running for a local election in Roland's hometown back in Belgium as well. So, but a lot of people will think, well, this is the only thing I can do. If I don't give him any more money, hopefully that will push him towards moving on.
Yeah, and I don't think even just that. I think some people have fallen out of love with it all because of that as well, which is a shame. So the question then is that as and when Roland is no longer the owner, can we get those people back? Because as Nafe says, there was a time where you would come to the Valley, even not just at the top flight, and the place would be absolutely bouncing. And you think of that campaign under Chris Powell when we won the league, and you think of the crowds then. It wasn't necessarily full every week, but the atmosphere was amazing. And it's just such a shame that we've lost that. I completely agree with you both. If people want to stay away, then I completely appreciate that. And it can't be easy for them not coming every week when Charlton's such a big part of their lives. So, you know, they're not just staying away because they just can't be bothered or they just don't fancy it. They're doing it because they're trying to make this club better again. So, you know, I understand why they're doing it. It's just difficult when you come here and it is such a small crowd, because we all know what Charlton can be, and it's just so far away from that at the moment, which is such a shame, especially when it's the fault of one person.
Right, when I said we'll do some sleuthing to try and work out who that number nine was, you know, so we put our best man on the case in Nathan, but I think Carl Sage might have had a guess as well.
Is it Dwayne?
No, he says, I think the number nine was probably Lucas Nimcha.
From Man City?
Yeah, on loan from Man City, who signed on loan for Preston, so that's another name out there that it could have been. So yeah,
Dwayne Holmes was on there, but I don't think he would have left Scunthorpe for a rival, would he?
No.
They're the only strikers I could see, but that's another good shout.
Yeah. Well, where did Dwayne Holmes go, sorry?
I can't remember.
He went to...
Somewhere in the Championship, I
might think. Derby, yeah.
Derby, fair enough. Right, finally from Evie says, we need to let Boya get on, as he knows exactly what he is doing. I remember him making his debut in 94. Also, he was a fighter to clear his name alongside Chandler with that infamous drugs test. He got through that, so he can easily turn our club around. Give him a chance I say. Well, I think I think the majority of Charlton fans certainly seem to be giving him that chance. I mean, we're still saying, I remember during the summer he was saying he expected to be made the permanent manager before the start of the season. Obviously that hasn't happened, but now he's come out yesterday and said that now he expects to be made it by the end of August if the takeover hasn't gone through. I mean, you assume he's been getting all this from Roland, so you're sure that he wouldn't just be saying it, I imagine. So
stupid offence.
Yeah. So, but I mean, do you think that matters now at the moment? I mean, we spoke to Prattley yesterday, you'll see it tomorrow, but he already views him as the permanent manager as far as he's concerned.
Yeah, I think so. I think even if his takeover happens tomorrow, which it probably won't. Well, it won't put, you know, it's been done deal loads of times. Yeah. But if it happens tomorrow, I still think Bowyer should be left as it is anyway. I don't think it would be what the point would be in changing it now when he's had a whole pre-season, put all the players in that he wants, to then go and change a manager. So yeah, I'd just make him permanent manager now. I don't see what the difference is. I really don't.
Right, Freddie Wells already sent an email for tonight's show, but forgot to mention Albie Morgan really impressed me when he came on. Good delivery from crosses, didn't look out of place. Seems he'll be an exciting member of the first team squad this season. That's interesting. I was going to talk about Albie later, but now we've got this tweet, we might as well do it now. Now, you know, Albie Morgan's a name, you know, you've heard of it from, you know, under 23 games and that, or under 18s, whatever it is, but you never actually thought he wasn't the one I was expecting to come on at all yesterday. I mean, Taylor Maloney, we've seen a bit of, you know, George Lapsley's really taken his chance so far this season, but Morgan sort of came a little bit out of left field, and when I saw he was coming on yesterday, I genuinely thought it must be an injury for him to be chucking him on.
Mm. Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I thought he was one of those. Absolutely no disrespect to him, but I thought he was one of those that was filling the bench because we didn't have any other players. And
he weren't even on the bench at Sunderland.
No, exactly.
But that, I think, is because he's had his injuries as well, of course.
And then it was Nath that saw him jog off from at half time quite quickly and said, you know what, I think he might be coming on. And yeah, and then obviously he did come on, and then you're a little bit nervous because, as you say, it's a name I've heard, but I didn't know too much about him. I didn't even know, you know, what age he was, or if I assumed it was his debut, but hadn't really, you know, didn't know much about him other than seeing him in those kind of 23s and 18s games, and he just took to it, didn't he? And he was calm on the ball. Again, like Lapsley, he just didn't look overawed by the occasion at all. And again, I know it is a small crowd that were actually here yesterday, but it's a big stadium, and it's a big step up. We've seen people who've played at conference level and stuff then come back from loan spells and try and play at this level and find it difficult because you're playing against big experienced like men, and he just took to it and was absolutely fine.
I think there is always, of course, a danger that if you over rely on young players, and we've seen it time and time again, you're talking about Carl and you think how long it's taken him to get up to speed, really, the second half of last season before, you know, when he was thrown in 3 or 4 years ago. There's always a danger that if you could burn them out. It happened with, I mean, I remember Carl Robertson saying about Steffi Mavadidi that he played him too long, and that's why he got that season-ending injury a couple of times ago, because they're not used to playing this high-level intensity of football twice a week, which is what you have to do in League One. So, you know, whereas it's nice to see these players come in and do that in their first game. I guess you have to remember how young they are, and perhaps you don't want to expect them to be doing that every week.
No, exactly, and I was just about to say that. So, when you've got someone that young, obviously George and Albie played this well, is what we can't expect them to keeping that consistency level sort of throughout the season, because you don't even have season pros. You mean, we mentioned Mark Marshall earlier. He's not been consistent. He's, what, 30? So as long as we're all patient with them, and there's going to be times where they make mistakes, and then they're going to be better players for it. But it's good that they're getting the chances. But we still need those players in, which we're always talking about, just to protect them a little bit, like you said about Mavadidi, because we don't want to burn them out, because they are still playing under 23 foot was completely different to playing first team.
Well, Alex Rogan said, superb to see young players like Lapsley and Morgan breaking through. We are a club who pride ourselves in our academy set up, and rightfully so. An absolute conveyor belt of talent, long may it continue. We pride ourselves on our setup. We just don't feed them or indeed let them have any water from plastic bottles. There was one thing I was thinking of running later, but I don't know if we're going to have time about, you know, now that the club has become so environmentally friendly, of course, what else can we do? Because also we've saved a lot of paper by not signing too many players' contracts, so that's quite good. I mean, what else could the club do to save the environment like they have done with the water bottles? I mean, they could extend that to the first team, for example.
We've not used any sort of sort of wash like cleaning products that are poisonous on the seats or anything yesterday, did we? We ain't used that over the summer because they were filthy yesterday. So we've done that.
Smaller team sheets.
Smaller team sheets.
More paper saving.
Another good thing was no bottled water in the press box. Yeah. But I think that was slightly then.
No food.
No pies.
No food, indeed.
No, there was no food yesterday.
But it was negated by the fact that the now to get the water, it comes in a glass jar and you still pour it into a plastic cup. So I ended up just bringing a bottle of water from home anyway. So. Right, Dan Sheed says, credit where it's due to Chris Solly. He hasn't been the same player in the last few years, but clearing the ball off the line at 0-0 was a massive turning point in the match. And yeah, I mean, you can't... I mean, I thought he's looked good so far this season. Considering he's asked to play in a back three, which he hasn't done too often against Sunderland, I thought he played really well. And I thought he looked fine yesterday as well.
Yeah, he's just he knows you know where you're going to get with Souls. He's a seasoned pro, and I still think he's one of the best one-on-one defenders. I just think to someone like Page as well, learning from Souls, I don't think you're going to learn from anyone better. He's not glamorous in what he does. He never goes past people or dribbles it. He just does the simple things, and he'll give you 150% every game. And that's why we love him. And you know, hopefully he can stay injury free this year, or we manage him better. It's a bit of a hope to say he won't get injured, but and then he obviously gets some sort of testimonial in the summer.
Yeah, he was talking about how he'd love it for it to be against the Arsenal.
I get his team, innit?
Yeah, but we'll see.
I might not fancy that, actually.
I don't know, after how they play today.
I was going to say.
Yeah, right, Daniel Trafen says, we rode our luck a bit, but pushed on and got our reward. We deserved the win overall. Lee Bowyer is a half glass full man, and I like it. Positivity rather than doom and gloom. Shame the crowd was so low. Once the rat goes, I'm sure we'll see a significant spike in numbers. The worry and the danger is that now that people have got out of the habit of coming, but I'm sure we will get a lift, certainly, but it's not like we're going to suddenly jump back to crowds of 15,000 in League One, unfortunately, is it?
No, and that's what I was saying earlier, that there's people now who stop coming because of him and have found other ways of spending their Saturdays, and it's going to be about how we get them back. I'm sure when the takeover first happens, the first game back will be a bumper crowd, and then it's whether those people decide to stay and stick it out again, and whether they fall back in love with the club, because I'm sure they're still Charlton fans in their heart. But if you find something else to do at weekends and you start to get out of the routine of coming, that's where the danger is. But yeah, crowds will go up as and when it happens, if Roland ever sells us. But yeah, I don't know necessarily that it's going to be the big spike that some people perhaps expect.
Right, Jonathan Ackworth tweets in, Ross McCormack and Mika Richards have both been told to leave on a free. They'd be superb additions to the squad. I imagine their wages might be a little bit out of our price range, but you never know. Right, Kai said, first half was poor from both teams. Second half was very good, and in the end, I think we deserved the win. We need to play well for the full 90 minutes, though. I'm just glad to be back at the Valley. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's easy to forget that was actually our first home game, and it is nice to finally be back, because I didn't actually go to either of the two friendlies. So just being back at the Valley is always a nice thing.
Yeah, no, it was nice to be back. Pitch looked great again. Nathan and the boys done good, we were saying before the match. But yeah, it was nice to be back. But I mean, if we're going to be up in that top two, we're going to have a really good home form and beat the likes of Shrewsbury like what you did yesterday. So always nice to start with a win, considering I think we should have had 1 point at least against Sunderland.
Right, we've spoken from Carl, and Scott Hamilton's just answering, because Nozza on Twitter actually tweeted the formation we played in the second half yesterday sounded really groovy. He said he'd love to know Bowyer's thought process behind Saar at right centre back and Solly at left centre back. Well, now you know, because it was on the Charlton Live interview with him earlier. So you heard that, right? We'll have a quick break. There's still a few things to talk about. I want to discuss Phillips versus Jed Steer. We've got a few more tweets about Albie Morgan, which I think we can talk about in further depth as well, including one from Sevo, which absolutely broke my heart. But I'll let you know that after this quick break.
Dixdale in the middle of space. Dixdale, chance to cross, gets the cross in. Gyro's there, just cleared away, but it'll drop to Page. Might think of a shot here. Page takes it. He did it! What a goal for Lewis Page! Has been out of action for over a year. Came back a selection of games, he's in slam a shot into the top left-hand corner. Then Charlton had the lead.
So welcome back, this is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Everything that we play out of the desk sounds weird this evening. Even that thing didn't sound quite right, but yeah, apologies for that. I'm going to take a hammer to this desk after the show.
That'll definitely fix it.
Yeah, I probably will, yeah. And hopefully the audio will sound a little bit better by next week. Right, we've got a couple of emails which I think I'll dive into first, then we'll come out and talk about Albie Morgan in a bit more depth because we've got a few tweets about them. But first one comes from Freddie Wells. He did promise us that he sent us an email, and indeed he has. He says, "Hi guys, fantastic result yesterday. Nice to be on the right side of a late winner for a change. You forget how often we actually conceded late goals last season, especially when we started doing it up at Sunderland as well. So I hope we don't start making that a habit again this year." He says, "My expectations for this season going into this game were low. Not expecting promotion, just would be happy to avoid a relegation battle. Today's result shows me that we have the potential to compete if we get some more players in." And that's the main of it. So, I mean, we're two games into the season now. We played well in both those games, thankfully. Only got 3 points from one of them. But it's still early in the season. Now, people say you've got players to come back, which of course we do, but then, I mean, if there's players coming back, that means there'll be players going out injured as well, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I think Bo's reeled off the players that we got injured, which everyone's more aware of, but by the time they all come back, we're probably going to be nearing a third of the season all the way through. So we do need, which obviously Bo's said, that we need a couple of players, two or three, to come in still, just to help us along the lines until they do get back. But I think the season's positive. I think it depends on what sort of players we do get in, on how well we do. Yesterday was... I wasn't too sure about yesterday. It was going to be interesting to see how we played. And I was actually quite... After the first half, second half, it was positive. So, yeah, I'm with Freddie. I think a lot more positive than I was than yesterday.
Right, continues. Bit of a dull first half. Marshall was ineffective, and it was a bold decision by Bowyer to hook him off at half time, but definitely the right decision, as Shrewsbury couldn't handle our change of formation in the second half. My man of the match was gorgeous George Lapsley. You can definitely tell he's a Charlton fan by the way he plays. He gave his all on the pitch and put in a great cross for Taylor's goal, made terrific runs forward, and defended well for the side. Am I right in saying that his preferred position is in central midfield? Yeah, so it certainly is. And like I say, I mean, he is a Charlton fan. It's always nice to have one player, and you always know you're going to get 150% from a Charlton fan. But like I say, the pressure on the shoulders of these young men, you sort of forget. I mean, you go to the Valley and you're thinking, right, I'm just looking at a football player here. You forget that some of them are probably half your age, and you know, they've got so much pressure to, you know, be playing in a League One, you know, up against senior players from a team that did really well last season as well. For them to come through and perform like they have so far has been quite impressive.
Yeah, really impressive, and not quite half my age, if they were, they'd be very, very young to be making their debut. But you see the interview after the game with those two, and Albie Morgan does look about 12, to be fair. And you do forget that. And as we've said time and time and time again, you have to be careful with managing those players. And especially for Lapsley, it looks like because of injuries and until we get another centre mid in, he could well be playing for the next 8 or 9 games, which obviously for him, it's brilliant. I bet he can't wait to be playing all that time. But we need to manage him, because if we go on a bad run, or if we come up against a lot of big bruising teams, you know, he's going to get knocked about. And we need to manage these young players carefully, because we don't want another Grant on our hands. Look how long it's taken him then to find his rhythm again at this level. But to give them the exposure and to just let them see what it's like to be part of the first team, I think is fantastic. And we've always done that, and hopefully we'll continue to do so. But yeah, in terms of their performances yesterday and Lapsley last week as well, I can't find any fault really. I thought Lapsley looked a little bit rabid in the headlights last year when he came on, but he's sort of tightened up his game a little bit, and I'm sure having Prattley alongside him helps with that respect as well. So, yeah, all good so far.
Right, Freddie's email continues. Taylor and Grant up front were frightening. Like Lapsley, Carlin didn't stop running and looked a threat with the ball at his feet. So happy for him to bag the winner. He deserves his chance in the first team now. As for Lyle Taylor, it's exciting to have a strong and aggressive striker who bullies defenders on our side for once. Something we've lacked since Jan left, and hopefully he'll build on a terrific start to his Charlton career. Funnily enough, one of the things when Lyle Taylor signed for us, and obviously we'd already seen him playing for Wimbledon, he looks a handful, he looks lively, but I just put it out on Twitter just to the a Wimbledon reporter for BBC London just to ask what he's like. But then actually a Wimbledon fan jumped into the conversation as well and said, Taylor's got all these qualities. But he said he's not actually that good in the air. But I mean, so it's good to see that he's got off to a start with a headed goal already, because I mean, I thought he battled well for that header and took it well.
Yeah, I thought it was a good battle all day between him and Beckles. I think obviously Beckles don't been watching too much WWE at some stages, but it was nice, because I think Josh was good, but sometimes I think Josh probably should have won a few more duels than he actually did, whereas Taylor, he's one of those horrible forwards, ones who puts himself about, really aggressive, and he holds the ball up very well, and I think he links up with him and Grant have got a good partnership, which is nice to see, because we were used to having just the one up front with the previous formation.
Yeah, it's funny you say he's horrible, because actually in real life it seems like a really nice bloke as well, doesn't he? Like, I spoke to him very briefly after he injured himself against Crawley, and he was happy to chat. And then when he bundled that bloke into the post yesterday after he'd done it, he was checking he was all right. So he's like a nice bloke. Freddie says happy for the win, as we 100% deserved all 3 points. Just waiting for the you know what now. Surely it will happen before January. So for me, all Bowyer has to do is keep us from sinking until the new owners come in to steady the ship. Yesterday was my first match as a season ticket holder, and if it all goes to plan, I have a feeling this will be a season to remember. Great to have you guys back. Cheers. That's from Freddie Wells. Thanks, Freddie, for your email. Hopefully it will be a season to remember, hopefully for the right reasons as that season continues. Right, Dan Farmer has got involved. Says, all right, boys, Bowyer deserves to be the full-time manager, don't he? Working wonders at the end of last season, unlucky not to get the draw last weekend and needed 3 points yesterday, plus getting his tactics right, not scared to change it up, unlike Gobby at Oxford. How did they do yesterday? Lol, they got beat again, didn't they, Oxford? They've lost both their two games. And that is a good point. Then, changing tactics up is something, like we said earlier on in the show. I mean, that's a brave decision, the way he changed formation and brought on such an inexperienced player in Albie Morgan. And it certainly paid off for him. But it's not just about, nicking the last minute goal. If we'd gone on to draw the game yesterday, he would have been disappointed with 1-1. But it's the way the passages of play changed in that second half, and that's what the tactical switch does to you. A lapse in defence, that's something that's not really tactics, that's a lapse in defence. And then the same with nicking a last minute goal. It's not tactics, it's nicking a last minute goal. But the way the second half was played out, that's what the tactical change did for us.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see, obviously, from any manager, but especially Bowyer, because when he came in at the end of last season, it was very much a firefighting job. And like someone like Harry Redknapp comes in to other sides and just kind of jeezes players up and gets them over the line. That's what Bowyer seemed to do last year. He changed, obviously, to 4-4-2 immediately, but then he didn't do too much tactical after that. It didn't seem on the surface of things when you're seeing it as a fan. And he got us through to the semi-finals, and obviously you miss out. And then we said on the first podcast this year, he's got a different job now, because he's still caretaker manager, not full manager, but he's now got to take this team over a full campaign, and it's very different to just going in there and trying to get the best out of players just for 6 or 7 games. But so far he's shown that, and he studied Sunderland and thought 3 at the back was going to work best, and I think for large parts of that game it did. He's then tried to change it up this time because, again, for tactical reasons, and when that hasn't worked, he's had the initiative to change it again. And you look at someone, the easy comparison like that person made of Carl Robinson, he wouldn't have done that. He's got his 4-2-3-1 and he sticks with it, and when it works, it works. But when it doesn't, he seems reluctant to make any change to that. And if Bowyer can continue that and continue to show good reactions to how other teams play, then that's the side of the manager that perhaps we didn't really get to see last year. And that bodes well for the future, certainly, in terms of him getting the job longer term.
Yeah, because it's always good to see a young manager who's quite happy to, learn on the job a little bit further down the leagues. And, Harry Kewell's doing it at Crawley. I'm sure there's... Lampard's gone in at Derby, that's going to be interesting for him as well. But he's a fresh manager and he needs to learn. But he certainly, he would have worked with some very good managers throughout his career, of course, and hopefully he'll be able to bring some of that into what he does with us. Right, Dan's email continues. Prattley was great. Albie Morgan, what a player he could be. And Carlin and Taylor up top look great together. Igor Vetekele will have to work hard to get a starting place when he's fit. Jose, what's happened to him? Will he be gone? Most probably, if we find someone that wants him. No, he certainly looks out of favour, doesn't he, Nicky Ajoze? On the bench again yesterday. He didn't come on, did he?
No, Rico come on, didn't he?
Yeah, so, I mean, linked with a move abroad, which he can still sign up until the end of August, with you can still sell players abroad. So I described him as out of favour on Twitter the other day when I was sort of trying to work out how many of the Charlton players who started the first leg against Shrewsbury would start on yesterday. It turned out to be only one, Patrick Bauer. And Shrewsbury only had three who started that game as well. So only four out of the 22 who started the playoff semi-final started yesterday. Just to show how much of a turnover there's been at both clubs. I mean, Shrewsbury don't look the same team as they did last year at all already, unfortunately for them. But yeah, interesting in a Jose. I mean, do you think we'll probably try and get rid of him?
I think him going will probably be a key on us getting someone else in, especially this winger come striker. I can't see a Jose being on little wages. I don't think he's going to be massive, but I think those wages would probably be spent elsewhere. But yeah, he didn't come on against Sunderland when we could have probably needed someone with a bit of pace. He didn't come on yesterday. Rico, you know, albeit only for what, 4 minutes or whatever it was, but he's obviously not in favour. So if Nicky wants to play, then it doesn't look like it's going to be here very often, apart from League Cup games and probably Checker Trade.
Yeah, well, don't disrespect the Checker Trade, though. Not under my roof. Right, special mention to the fans that turned up and made a noise and pushed the players. Hopefully a few more bodies in ASAP, and if so, we might just not be that bad this season. But this is Charlton. We always do it the hard way, and a certain person in Belgium doesn't help matters, does he? Let's hope all this takeover stuff gets sorted and the whole fan base comes together as one. That's all I want, and promotion, of course. And he says, cheers, Dan. That's all we want as well, promotion and the fan base to come together. I mean, again, we're looking at this win, and we're looking at the performance at Sunderland last week, and you know, as we've said a lot, you know, we just know we need just a few more bodies just to shore it up, really. I mean, I spoke to Prattley again after the game yesterday, which we'll be able to read tomorrow morning, and you know, everyone knows that we need some bodies, because you know, it's all well and good looking half decent at the start of the season when we've already got a few injuries, but when we start to get a few more, I mean, that's when it's going to really become, you know, we're really going to see how tough this season could be.
Yeah, I think we've got the nucleus of a squad here that could be better than last year's squad, and obviously we did manage to get in the playoffs with them, so I think there's every reason to be confident that we could do the same again this year, but it is dependent on getting at least two or three more players in. And I, that's not being greedy. We could get six or seven in and still be a relatively small squad in terms of what most teams would call first team players, because we're still relying on a lot of youth. But without those players, for sure, we're going to struggle, particularly whilst everything else off the pitch continues to rattle on as well. So it's a weird sort of season, because I think we're all still trying to figure out exactly where Charlton sit, because that performance against Sunderland and the character we showed yesterday to get that last minute winner, you think, right, okay, maybe there's some in there, and you look at the players we've still got to come back and you think, well, that's positive as well. But then with everything else that's going on, and with when you're looking at the squad and going, well, Lapsley's had to play both games, Albie Morgan's had to come on, you think, right, well, that's going to burn out at some point, and then we're going to really struggle. So we're just in a weird place at the moment. I think six or seven games in, we'll be able to get a bit more of an idea, and Boya said that himself as well. So I think until that point, it's just about getting through these games. And as I say, so far, I think we've actually done that quite well.
Well, let's have a very quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Welcome back. This is Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. All our jingles are sounding like strangled cats at the moment, so apologies for that and any cats we may have offended. Right, Richard Justin tweets, really pleased with the Steer signing, similar to Amos and Rudd in that he's better than League One. And now that opens up the debate for me. So, of course, Charlton have signed Aston Villa goalkeeper Jed Steer on a season-long loan. He comes in officially as competition for Dylan Phillips, but I mean, you look at someone who's played a lot in the Championship. He played for Aston Villa in the first game of the season, but he's come here, and now, I mean, we heard what Boya said about him earlier. He's going to be there to push Dylan, but I mean, I can't imagine he's come here to sit on a bench, surely, has he?
Of course he hasn't. Maybe he has, I don't know, but you can't imagine him leaving Villa. He played on Monday and he's going to come to a League One team and just play the odd checker trade game. He's not. That can't happen. It won't happen. Which I feel sorry for Dills for. I think last week I said if we got an experienced keeper and he was pushing him, it might have been better. But looking at it, I can't see Dylan being there much, for much longer. But unless obviously Dills has a good game on Tuesday and hopefully Saturday and then keeps him out, it's his shirt to lose now. But it's just a shame because I just know as soon as there's one difficult game that Dylan may have, he's going to be out, and that's the shame because I think he deserves a full season.
It's ended up as the worst of both worlds for him, isn't it? Because I mean, he needs to play a full season now. Obviously, he did it with Cheltenham, didn't he? When they won the National League, he played for them that season. I remember seeing him at Bromley, and he played really well. But you know, he's not. Well, I mean, I'm hoping hopefully he still does get the chance. Hopefully he does, you know, continue to perform well. But if, like I say, second he comes out, then it's going to be Jed Steers for the taking, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Jed Steer, on paper, is a brilliant signing. You know, as the person who tweeted in said, he's got experience at a higher level, like Rudd and like Amos last year. But I agree with Nathan, and Boya said it in the interview, that it's Dylan's is number one, and if you take that on face value and that is the case, then brilliant. Steer's not going to be happy necessarily to hear that, but I can't see that happening, and I think it's so frustrating for Phillips because he deserves his chance, in my opinion. And I said on Thursday, and Nash just echoed it there, you bring someone in with experience who's happy to sit on the bench but can fill in, that would have been perfect. I think as it is, Steer's going to want to play, and you know, again, it only takes one mistake from Phillips and that could be that, and what's he going to do then? That's the way you look at it. Most likely thing, knowing Charlton, is one of them gets injured for the season anyway, so we won't have to worry about it. But if they are both fit, it is healthy to have competition there. I fully appreciate that. My worry is that Steer's going to win that competition and Phillips is once again going to be left on the bench. So.
The difficult thing is that we can't even... Well, you can loan Dylan out, but then we're in the same situation again. So and that's, the frustrating thing. Because if it was like, oh, Dylan, you can go to Grimsby on loan for a year, then I'd be like, oh, fair enough. But I know Dylan's going to be sitting on that call box again, like it was last year, and then bugger.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't seem to put any feet wrong yesterday, Dylan, did he?
No, he made a couple of really good saves. That one down at his near post was really good. Commanded his area pretty well as well. Yeah, I think I just don't see why you would take him out of the side. And like I say, if he keeps playing well, then Boyo hasn't really got any reason to drop him. And if that frustrates Steer, I don't really care because he's not our player anyway. He's just got to be ready to come in as and when he's called upon. And that's what Boya seemed to be saying from his interview yesterday, and if he does stand by that, then I'll be pleased.
Right, Albert Rossi tweeted in saying, Lou, just want to say what a great job Jason Yule has done with those under-23s. And I think that the whole academy setup, really, from Steve Avery, of course, leading the whole operation to the players coming up through the ranks. We always do seem to have a bit of a conveyor belt of talent. And now, as we sort of said earlier, the surprise package for me yesterday was Albie Morgan, just because I wasn't expecting him to A, come on at all, and B, actually, you know, change the way we play. But Boya really put his trust in him and got his just rewards as he moved the ball around nicely, including the little dink over the top for Darren Prattley to cross for the winning goal yesterday. So I put out on Twitter just for some specific comments about Albie Morgan, how people saw him play yesterday. Ev said, I thought Albie Morgan looked focused, unfazed and committed. Reminds me of a certain Mark Kinsella. If that's the case, we have no worries. With the injured still to come back and Reeves, we can take this season head on. At last, we have a chance. Valiant said, when I first saw him come on, I couldn't help but think, how small is he? He showed a lot of maturity for one so young. He was composed, assured and put himself about. We were all very impressed. And I said, how big a difference did he make to the game? And Carl Williams just said it was big. So he made a big difference. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you don't often expect to see a young player come on and look so calm. Because now, you know, with all due respect to Lapsley, who's had a great start to this season, but you remember when he came on against Blackpool just before Christmas for his league debut. He came off the bench and he looked a bit like a rabbit in headlights, which is not what we've seen from Lapsley at all this year, or what I've seen from him for the 23s. But just when it's your big league debut, you can be a bit nervous, but we didn't really see any of that from Morgan yesterday.
No, and I think a lot of it might extend from the big pre-season all of them had, because I think they all travelled with a squad, they stayed with a squad, and I think Bo said earlier in just before the season started how, you know, the three of them mainly, so obviously Lapsley, Morgan and Doughty, how much they've improved from when he first come into now, just by training with the first team. And yeah, I mean, Albie yesterday, he also looks like he's got a good dead ball on him as well. Looks confident, doesn't mind the ball. He was calling for the ball. Like I said earlier, a lot of players would be really nervous and hide from it. But yeah, he looks very, very comfortable and very confident in himself, and it bodes well for him.
Yeah, right, Mark Newbury, evening boys. I'm guessing that my boys, he's just had twins in the summer, will be at work before Ronan sells, so stop listening to the rumours about the selling of the club. Or even Mark's going to like send them down the pit really early or something, or he's just thinking that they're not going to, Ronan's not going to sell for a while. He said, weird for me yesterday to not do my normal routine on a match day with nappies and feeds taking over the normal parking spot. Walk to the ground and pre-match chat with my mates. Glad to see we get a result, and good to see Albie get a chance. Now hoping we don't lose any more to injury against Milton Keynes on Tuesday. Do we have to play a certain number of players from the league game in these games? Because we might run out of legs early on if we do. No, we don't. It's only the Checker trade that they bring that rule in, because it's such a pointless competition that they have to make a rule that you're not allowed to put out like children, like actual children, to play in the Checker trade.
Could you say Mark Newbury's kids could have a run out?
Yeah, we could do actually. Yeah, they'll probably get injured, unfortunately. He says, was there any update on the return of injured players from Bowie? There wasn't really, but I don't think we're really expecting anyone back soon. Mm. We know even Pierce is going to be a couple of weeks now, so. Yeah, not really expecting anyone back in the short term, which is a shame, because we do need those extra bodies. Right, just 5 minutes or so left. I guess we should start to look ahead to Tuesday's game. Bowyer said it is going to be... I tweeted out what he told me during the interview yesterday. I said it's going to be an under-23s team with a smattering of first-team players. And then someone replied, isn't that what we play today as well? but, I mean, how do you approach this game? I mean, it's really a competition we could do without this season, isn't it?
Yes and no. I think if we just play our under-23s and they get a win, I think that's actually a good thing. One, because it gives them confidence. And two, joking aside, there's a chance that we're going to need to use more of them for the rest of this season. So if they get some first-team experience, then that's not a bad thing. I mean, if we get knocked out, I'm not going to complain. But if we get through, it gives some of those players, like your Maloney's and your Albie Morgan, some more game time and a bit more experience, so that when we need them in the league that is actually more important, then they're going to have more game time under their belt. So I think to that extent it's actually quite useful. But as I say, if we get knocked out, I'm going to have no complaints at all.
Yeah, I think Nicky Ojozo probably gets some minutes on Tuesday as well, which would be good, because again, I mean, he is someone, there will be players who haven't had any first team minutes for a while, you know, whether it's in pre-season or in the league games now, that, you know, just anyone who can have a few minutes in their legs will be useful as and when we do get desperate and have to use them.
Yeah, exactly. I think obviously a Josie gets some, Rico will probably get some. Everyone, you just got. We haven't got, especially centre half. I don't know. Would he be like Cummins or something like that? He'd probably put them in there, wouldn't he? Because obviously I don't want him putting out Naby or Paddy. Because if they get injured, yeah, it'd be a bit of a thing. But yeah, I think we're gonna need, like Tom said, we're gonna need him at some stage, as long as we don't use him too much. But if it turns out that we win tomorrow, I'd do the same all the way through the competition. I'd just play the under-23.
Up until the final?
I'd do it. Oh, yeah, why not?
Well, that'd be impressive if we win the...
Arsenal, wouldn't they?
Yeah, if we get to the League Cup final, you suggest...
Against Man City.
We don't go out to win it, we just pack the 23s. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, downright, sod it.
I mean, I guess if we do win on Tuesday, is that the sort of momentum? Is that going to go through to the first team? Considering it will be a changed team, can you take momentum from a cup game when it's... You know, probably only five or six of the actual first team going to play?
No, I don't think you can, really. And that's why, as I say, if we do get knocked out, it's no bad thing. What it can do is give those players some more confidence. So, like I say, I don't even know if Lapsley will play, because you're talking about Lapsley as a first team regular these days. But Morgan and Maloney and even someone like a Jose, you know, if he scores on Tuesday, maybe that just, one, gives him a little bit more confidence, and two, means that when we do get to next weekend and we've got a league game, Bowyer might consider him, despite the fact he doesn't seem to fancy him at the moment. So I don't think necessarily it's momentum that it will carry through, but it will give individual players that confidence to take that into a league fixture, so that's good. And if they get knocked out, I'm sure Bowyer will say, well, there's a bit of experience for you youngsters, and we'll try and get you involved in the league as much as we can as well. So for us, I think it's win-win. You just go out there, give it your all, and see what happens.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's hope that we... Well, I don't know, let's hope that we do progress through to the next round of the League Cup. And if we do, let's just get a home draw, because it is quite annoying having to take annual leave to go and watch the under-23s. But there we go. Right, I'm going to end the show here tonight. So thank you for joining in with this evening's Charlton Live. It's always great to do our first show after a win each season. So thank you for listening in and getting your emails and your tweets. You know, getting involved as well. We'll be back on Thursday evening here, as long as whatever I've done to the machine in between now and then means it still works. But hopefully you'll join us for the big match preview on Thursday evening. So Tom, thank you for coming in this evening.
Cheers, Louis.
Nathan Muller, it's good to have you.
Cheers, mate.
I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. Great to finally get the season up and running with 3 points. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.